We are so glad that you are all here at Lift Church. I want to reiterate two things that he said. Number one, we've had over 200 people make a decision and commitment for Jesus Christ since we launched in January. So that's just this year. And if you've made that decision for the first time, or if it's the first time in a long time and you're like, hey, I want to get baptized, that is your next step. And I really want to encourage you that baptism's coming up at the end of this month. Sign up on our website, liftsby.com/events. We'd love to express with you and celebrate with you the joy of baptism. It's such an amazing thing to just live out loud that, hey, I've given my life to Jesus and I'm doing this thing, all right? And so we're so excited about that. And also, next week, we're starting a brand new series. It's called I Am Three. And what we want to do is just finding the harmony within. Did you know that we are wired very similar to God? And that is, God is made up of three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, He made us in His image. And so there's three things going on inside of me. Come on, you don't have multiple personality disorder. You just got some things going on, right? Can we identify with what the Apostle Paul once said? He said, listen, I don't know what's going on inside me. The things that I want to do, I struggle to do them, and it seems like I fall short. And then the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them anyway. And that's because we got three things going on inside of us. We've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. And I can't wait to just unpack this together. It's one of my favorite things to discuss together and to grow in. So you're going to want to take these when you leave today. Our hosts are going to give you a few of these. These are not to invite you to come, because we're inviting you right now to come. These are for you to invite your friends and family who you know and you want them to come to church. Just say, hey, I want you to come check out this series with us at Lift Church. It's going to be an awesome time. If you'll do that with us, say amen. All right. Let's have some church up in here. If you got your Bible, go to Daniel chapter 5. We're going to break open some Old Testament. Last week, I was so excited to have my lead pastor here with us from Louisiana. How many of y'all enjoyed that as he just poured out some wisdom on us? Tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters. This is going to be, it's interesting because our God really knows how to knit things together. And so this message is not a part of a series, but I feel like it has a little to do with last week's message and a little to do with where we're going in the next 3 weeks. And so that makes it just God, right? That it's going to be right in between. If you got your Bible, Daniel chapter 5, get some Old Testament on us. I'm going English Standard Version as I read this text. Now, I'm going to give a bit more scripture, but that's because this is one of the wildest stories I have ever read in the Old Testament. There's some wild stories in our Bible. This one is pretty, it's on the top list, okay? So bear with me as we read a little bit more. I wanted to read it out of word rather than just summarizing it. It says this, King Belshazzar, say Belshazzar. King Belshazzar had a beast of a name. No, it doesn't say that. It says King Belshazzar, I can't even pronounce his name. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the thousands. Now, maybe I should give a little context before I get into this. King Belshazzar is the new king of Babylon. And Babylon is in modern day Iraq. This is a land that it was known to be, if you Wikipedia search it, it'll say it's known to be one of the greatest empires ever built. It's also known for its lustful nature, its sinful nature, its heart apart from God nature. And the people of God got exiled to this land. To understand what we're about to read, imagine if Iraq were to rise up even stronger in power, overthrow America, and then take you and I to Iraq. This is a bit of the context of how you might be feeling or experiencing in a time like that. There's a bunch of you ready to go, no way, right? But this is what the people of God were dealing with. Do you cease to be a people of God at this point, or do you rise up and press in even more? See, this is what it says. It says, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the thousands. And Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar, which was his father, the ones that his father had taken out of the temple. If you're in your Bible right now, you need to underline that right now, because this is where the story changes. He says, go get those cups, go get those treasures that were the Lord's, the King of Kings, because I'm the king now. That King of Kings has fallen, and I'm the king. In fact, to throw a little dirt on it, to show everybody that I'm where it's at right now, that I'm the most powerful, go get the most powerful's treasures, his cups, his gold, the highest treasures from the temple, from the church. I want to drink out of them. I want my boys to drink out of it. While we party, while we throw the party of all parties, we're going to drink out of the king's cups. You see where it's getting really narcissist. It's getting really sarcastic right here. None of us have ever dealt with narcissists before, so I don't know if you can identify. But that's what he's dealing with right here. And it says, out of the temple in Jerusalem, bring those cups that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines, even the concubines too, might drink from them. We're going to make light of this thing. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple in the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines, they drank from them, and they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Somebody put your finger up in the air and wave it. Come on. Wait. No. It says immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared. Somebody say, out of nowhere. A human hand, no body, but just a human hand appears and writes on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite of the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Now, I got a confession. I think maybe I picked this scripture because everybody wants to talk about Halloween, spooky spirits, and pumpkin spice, right? If you want pumpkin spice and spirits, you got them right now. We're going to put some pumpkin spice creamer out in our coffee bar, and we're going to talk about what Belshazzar had happening up in his life. He's literally trying to throw a party. He's trying to mock and make fun of the King of Kings, and out of nowhere, a hand with no body. Question, what does it look like when the wrist is cut? Like, I don't know. Yeah, you know, was there blood? Was it kind of rounded off skin? I don't know. All I know is a hand is writing on the wall. It says that immediately the king's color changed. I bet he pooped his. No, it doesn't say that. And his thoughts alarmed him, to say the least. His limbs gave way. See, it does kind of say that. Okay, anyway. And his knees knocked together. He lost all control. And the king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The Chaldeans were an old, wise group of people before the Babylonian time that stayed around because they could read the stars. And so the king declared to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck. And they all said, hey, rolling with the chains, right? And had a chain around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. And the astrologer said, I'm going to get that gold chain. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing. Fast forward. Says the queen, concerned by it all and seeing how discombobulated her husband is, she comes running in, came to the banquet hall and declared, O king, live forever. Let your thoughts not alarm you or your color change. There is a man. Come on now. Somebody say, there is a man. Say, there is a woman. There is a person who the Most High in your kingdom, and who the spirits of the holy gods in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdoms of God, were found in this one. Say, there is a man. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, he made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers because an excellent spirit You should underline that right there. Because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, to explain riddles and to solve problems, these were all found in this man called Daniel. This is whom the king called Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will be shown the interpretation. And Daniel interpreted the writing and he said that the writing says your time's up. You will die shortly. He actually died that night. New king comes in. Flip forward one chapter and one king. It says in Daniel chapter 6 that it says in verse 3, Daniel became distinguished under this new king above all the others because an excellent spirit was in him. Two times in two chapters declared by two kings is a spirit is identified in this man, Daniel. I'm excited because I'm believing that in all of Lift Church, we're going to see the same spirit rise up and that people will say, people even far from God will say, there is a spirit. It's not just a spirit. It's an excellent spirit. For there is none like this man or woman. Back in the first book of your Bible, Genesis 39, as we get ready to roll with this, Genesis 39 says, the Lord was with Joseph, say Joseph, so that he prospered. Any of y'all want the Lord with you to help prosper? Let me see your hands up in this place. If you're not raising your hands, you lying. Okay, line up in church. God, help them. Okay. When his master saw what the Lord was doing with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in Potiphar's eyes. Father, I'm praying in this place for an excellent spirit. I pray that it falls on us. It's your Holy Spirit alive and well in us to show off your love, your glory, your peace, your patience, your gentleness, your goodness. Let it come alive and let it show just like in Daniel and Joseph in Jesus' name. And everyone agrees with that said? Amen. Amen. This message I've entitled An Excellent Spirit. See, I have a pet peeve. I got a few pet peeves. I'll talk about one of them today. One of them is when water spills and rushes into your mouth as you're trying to drink. That's not what I'm going to talk about. Here's one of my pet peeves. Anybody named Drew up in this place? Now, see, there's a difference between a Drew who is an Andrew and has become a Drew, and there is something completely different about a Drew spelled D-R-U. Now, I don't know if any of y'all suffer from this, but I suffer from this problem in our family, that there is a lovely lady. She is my wife's grandmother. She is an amazing woman, and her name is Drusilla. The problem is she got to this world before me, and she decided to shrink her name to Drew so that every time we're having a nice family gathering, people will go, Drew, can you help me go to the bathroom? I don't know if I need to be helping you go to the bathroom. And then we were finding out, oh, you man, Drew, D-R-U. Or, hey, Drew, how's the turkey coming? I was like, didn't know I was cooking today, you know? And it's because they're talking about Drew, but they don't mean Drew. It's see, put that next slide up there. This is what I am talking about. Drew is not Drew. Let's not mistake this. This could be a very small semantic, but it makes all the world of a difference, right? One is male, one is female. One is younger, one is, let's keep moving on. One is, both are amazing. Both are amazing, but Drew is not Drew. Now, if you suffer from people who've got the same name, you know what I'm talking about, right? And you're always answering to things that you shouldn't be answering to, and it gets confusing, and you're just like, let's not call her Drew. Let's call her Drusilla, but then she could say the same of me. What am I talking about? In Daniel chapter 5, the whole spooky setup that, of the handwriting on the wall happens to a king named Belshazzar. Now, Belshazzar, click it again, Belshazzar is not Belteshazzar. I don't know if you caught that, but there's two different people in the text. One is the king named Belshazzar, and one is ridiculously similar in semantics, in spelling. Both are men. Both maybe should be created equal. I don't know. All I know is there's just a small difference, but it makes all the difference. See, there can be something inside of you and me that is just a small difference, but it makes all the difference. Drew is not Drew, and Belshazzar is not Belteshazzar. There is a major difference because there's something inside. There's something different. And sometimes it seems intangible, and sometimes we miss it. I'm telling you, the first few times I read Daniel chapter 5, I thought we were talking about the same person. Because if you speed read it, you'll miss the T-E. But the T-E changes everything. It makes Belteshazzar not Belshazzar. They are two very different people. Why? Because of an excellent spirit. There is a spirit that differentiates the two. And it could be easy to miss, but it makes all the difference. In fact, it makes him not you. It makes us completely different. You might see two men. I see something different because of an X factor, an extra thing. And I think it's the Spirit of God. See, Daniel and Joseph had this same thing going on. Again, imagine if we were exiled, if we lost our freedom, if we ended up captives in another land. It would be easy to become bitter, but not Daniel. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He used his wisdom and his knowledge to serve the people that he had now been submitted to, only up until the point that he would not sin. As long as it wasn't crossing the line of sin, he was given an excellent spirit. I wonder what it would be like if we all brought that same excellent spirit to everything we do, to raising our family, to loving our spouses, to serving our employers, to worshiping our God, that we would have this different spirit inside of us that makes us not Belshazzar, but Belteshazzar. There's something almost intangible. There's something driving the inside that is totally different. It changes the decision-making mechanism. There seems to be a different grid going on with this guy. Joseph was identified by Potiphar for having a spirit on him that was different than anybody else he had met. Oh, he had all kinds of slaves. Joseph was not the only slave at Potiphar's house, but he was the only one with a different spirit. One that didn't show up bitter and saying, you know what, you don't own me, you don't talk about me, you can't put me to work, but instead one saying, this is where the Lord has me. The Lord has got me in every single circumstance. And so while you are not my master, I will serve my master with full being because the Lord will prosper me. He has not forgotten my steps. He knows where I am. I am at. The dream is not dead because I'm temporarily in a poor job situation or serving a narcissist or serving liars or serving a context that puts me down or tries to squeeze out the good inside of me. For I will serve the Lord whether in good times or in bad times because I've got a spirit that's driving on the inside of me. It calls me up higher. It calls me to a life of worship, no matter where I am. Many of us have heard the parable of the two mice. Two mice are dropped inside a bucket of cream. One gives up immediately and drowns and dies. The other mouse decides it's not giving up, and it just begins to churn and churn and try to swim and stir, and it churns its way into making that cream into butter and climbs out the top. That is the difference between an excellent spirit like Joseph, who ended up in a pit, ended up in a prison, and ended up rising to the top of a palace. And that is the difference between a guy like Daniel, who says, I will serve my God no matter what the context, and I will give him glory. And you will see that the Most High God rules over the kingdoms of men, and he gives them to whomsoever he chooses. I may not understand why he gave it to you, but this much I know, you are not in control. My God is in control. And so the God of self-control is inside of me. I have no need to slight you. I have no need to cut you down. I have no need to try to take your job, for none of us are in control. My God is in control, and I will serve him no matter if it's good or if it's bad. I had the honor of leading a wedding ceremony not too long ago. Y'all give it up for Jacob and Meredith up in here. First time in Lift Church, newly married. I'm so excited for those two. And one of the things they vowed is for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. It doesn't matter my context. We are in this thing together. And that's the same kind of excellent spirit that says it doesn't matter if things have gotten rough. I will serve the God, my God, with all my heart. How do we tell the difference? Well, Galatians 5 says this very quickly. Many of us have heard this before, but write it down. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Again, there's a flesh side and there's a spirit side. The flesh side, the Belshazzar side, are obvious. There's sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, for those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's a different spirit. There's a different spirit that is available to you and I. And it can come live on the inside. It is this, the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of God. It produces excellent results. Check how excellent this is. It produces love. It produces joy. It produces peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of us need these? It is not accomplished by the works of the flesh or by trying to do hard or work at it even more or press it out or stay, give it more grit. No, it is a spirit. It's an excellent spirit that wants to come inside and become a brand new inside. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the first one. We surrendered those. We've identified those as sin, not who God created us to be. Putting those aside and picking up a new spirit, a spirit that gets to call the shots. It's an excellent spirit. And those who belong have done that with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with this same spirit. Why does this matter? Two reasons. The stumbling blocks have got to get out the way because, number one, people far from God are watching. I believe people far from God are watching us. It is in the book of Daniel. It is in the story of Joseph that people standing back going, your God ain't nothing. Look at the condition you're in. You're a prisoner. You're a lesser than. Let me see him get you out of this one. Did he get them both out of them? Busted both of them out and became the high figure in their society. But people far from God are watching. It was so cool last week. Pastor Scott and his wife, we got to go to lunch with them. And we were just hanging out over at an Italian restaurant, and we're just laying low. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but after Sunday mornings, we can be tired. And I just am so thankful for the dream team that comes and serves every single morning. 45 people this morning getting up at 6:55 to come serve and turn this theater into a church. Can we celebrate them right now? Come on, they're even out in the hallway serving our kids, teaching them to worship, watching them. Come on, I'm so grateful for the dream team. And many of you, I was praying for you even this morning because I don't know if you go home like me, maybe a little bit tired. And so we were just kind of laying low, just winding down, and we're eating our breadstick because that's where it's at. The breadstick's where it's at. You know, can you bring more to the table, please? That's heaven on earth in Jesus' name. There was manna. It was manna provided for the people of God. Bring more manna in the form of a garlic breadstick in Jesus' name. And so they had it there. And you know, we were just hanging out. We were just doing life. And we saw some people from different churches there. But you know, our waitress, her name was Susie. And Susie came over afterward and she said, can I just interrupt for a moment and say something I don't normally say? We're like, what's going on, Susie? And she said, you know, I was abused in my last relationship. I've suffered much pain. And I've seen many Christians come in on Sundays and they come and they eat and they go about their way. Some are nice, some are not. She said, there's something different about you guys. And it was my pleasure today to serve this table. You have just brought joy into my life, and I'm believing that there's something amazing inside of you guys. What church are you at? And can I come the next time I'm off on Sunday? I said, come on, Susie, come and hang with us. But see, we weren't even trying to be anything different. We were just letting the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us produce a different kind of spirit. One that even when we're tired isn't grumpy, angry, bitter. Go get me more breadsticks. Why are we waiting for a lighter breadsticks? You know, sipping on your drink, acting like, you know, you heard my cup's been empty for a long time. You know, being as obnoxious as you can. Susie, over here, right? No, it's a different kind of spirit that goes, God bless her. Soon, my tongue shall not be parched as she brings more water into this desert with the manna. No, she did an amazing job. That's what people should be noticing. People are watching. People are paying attention. Some are saying, I gave up on church. I've served people who came from church, and now they're saying, I want to come back to church. I'm believing that there's something inside you. See, David swayed three kings to confess the glory of God in his time. Two of them made decrees, and I think it should be our ambition, no matter where we go, to help people far from God come to a place where they decree, for your God is real, and I want to know him better. Come on. I get excited about that. I believe every single Sunday that there are people in this room who are far from God. And I want to tell you that welcome to church. Welcome to Live Church. We hope that you'll find this a place to belong until you realize that our God is a good God and he's madly in love with you. There's a different kind of spirit available to you, and it needs to be living inside of us. It says this in Proverbs 24. I was reading it in my Bible time this week. It says, I went past the field of a slugger, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. And it says this, I observed and I learned a lesson. Here's the question. What are people, go to that next slide. What are people observing? What are the people observing our work ethic concluding? What are the people observing our parenting concluding? What are the people observing our marriages, our decisions, our academics, our athletics, our speech? What are the people around us observing about us? An excellent spirit is one that will govern these things without even our need for control, but we will have to die to flesh, die to the desires, and we're going to talk about that over the next 3 weeks in this I Am 3 message. Number two, God's kingdom needs building. God's kingdom needs building, and my blessing too. My blessing, do you know you have something to contribute and God's kingdom needs it? I love what Pastor Scott said last week. If God wants to bless Lift Church, that means he's got to bless you. He wants to bless you. Pastor Scott and I were talking after. I said, that was such a profound word because God wants the blessing for you, but not just for you, but for the church to grow globally. And so God's got to bless you. And he goes, yeah, he's not going to do it. We don't think about this often. He's not going to do this by saying, you know what? We've changed the tithe from 10% to 15%. Bless you all. God wants to bless Live Church. No. That's not how he does it. He says, I want someone with an excellent spirit. I'm looking to promote them on their job. I'm looking to put them in places that they don't even belong. Inadequacy is not a holdback for God. God wants to take us to new levels. He wants to make us not the tail, but the head. Come on, he wants to make us not the end, but the beginning. God has big plans for us. He wants to bless you. What if Joseph doesn't rise to power? If Joseph remains a bitter slave in Potiphar's house, what happens to the people of God? The word of God says this, that God saved the people of God through Joseph and the position that he had gone to. If he became a bitter, angry young man who just says, I'm better than this. Y'all don't even know my value. Everybody's overlooking me. Y'all don't even understand. If he becomes bitter, the people of God disappear. What if there's people depending on you and I having an excellent spirit? And so it matters how I approach my boss. It matters how I approach my spouse. It matters if the marriage stays. It matters if the kids see an apologetic spirit even when I don't get it right all the time. How many people are contingent on you and I showing a spirit that is not of this world, but comes from God? Deuteronomy 28 says this, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward and never downward if you listen to the Lord and are careful to follow them. Do not turn aside and do not go after the other gods to worship them. So I got to speed up, but I'm so excited about this. Here, there's forms of an excellent spirit. This is not an exhaustive list, but here's three that I want to point out. Number one, a spirit of excellence in essence. Like your heart, like your spirit, who you are becomes just an excellent spirit no matter where you go. This is like when your whole operating system changes. How many of y'all have an iPhone or an Apple device in this room? Let me see your hand. Everyone else, I pray for your deliverance. Settling for cheap counterfeits and knockoffs of the right thing. I'm sorry. No. Woo! Okay, making friends up in this place. If you did, I got a new operating system update to my iPhone this past week. And it changed not everything, but a lot of things. One thing of which that it changed is it offers this new light mode or dark mode. You get the option. Do you want your phone in light mode or dark mode? You can choose that it's in dark mode all the time. You can choose that it's in light mode all the time. Or you can choose it's on light mode during the day some of the time and dark mode other times. Now, I'm not trying to say if you got your phone on dark mode, you're part of the dark side. But what I am saying is interesting that the Spirit wants to come in and give us an operating system change. You get the option. No longer are you subject to a sinful nature that will carry you into a place you don't want to be in hell. You get the option to have the light mode on. And we can be called to live in the light as He is in the light all of the time. Not just, hey, it's Sunday morning, light mode. Hey, it's Sunday afternoon, dark mode. Bring me a breadstick or else I'm giving you a little tip. Fill my cup or you ain't getting nothing. Right? Light mode, feeling good, had my coffee. Kids, y'all are an amazing gift from God. Dark mode, would y'all shut up and go to your bedroom before I spank someone? Right? Right? Like, we get to choose a new operating system. The Holy Spirit will come in and change our grid. Matthew 5:41 says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. This is a teaching from Jesus. And what's fascinating about it, I'm going to run out of time. But I guess the band's got to come up here. And I'm excited about that. I got to tell you about this one right here. Jesus, when he was talking about the second mile person, it's so interesting because just like we talked about Daniel's world was overthrown, the people in Jesus' time, especially the people of God, they hated Romans. Romans were coming to rule and to dictate and to decide how they could worship God, where and when and how and if. And so they didn't like Roman rule very much. They didn't like authority. They said, our authority is the Most High God, and we don't need your authority. Now, Roman rule understood this, that they had Roman soldiers trying to conquer all of the land. And so they had soldiers that had to go on long distances carrying heavy backpacks. And so they instituted a Roman rule, which was this. If a soldier is tired and asks you to carry their bag for a mile, you are ordered under law to do it, or you could lose your life. Nobody liked this rule. So much so that in the town center, the people would often measure off 1 mile distance in every direction and they'd drive a stake so that when they got to the stick, they could say, I carried your bag, now back off. I'm dropping it right here. I'm done. I've done the minimum. I don't like you very much. I didn't appreciate you putting me out. I had things to do. Maybe I was headed to a wedding. Maybe I'm about to lose my job. I'm on the last thread, and you make me carry your bag. I hate you. This stick symbolizes where I'm done with you. Jesus said this, when you get to the stick, carry it a second mile. In other words, change your whole grid of looking at people. Loving them with an excellent spirit, even those who are easiest to hate. Look at them with a new heart and love them. If they ask you, can I have the shirt off your back? Give them the shirt off your back. If they strike you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. I get so excited about this because it's an I'll do whatever it takes to win your soul mentality. If carrying your bag will make you go, you're different. I've had a lot of Belshazzars carry my bag. You're like a Belteshazzar. I've encountered many people who said they loved the Lord and they were salty the whole way. You offered to carry it another mile. I so love whenever they open the Regal early for a big blockbuster show or something like that. I get so excited because there have been times when it rains, we get out our umbrellas and we try to usher you guys in so that you don't get wet. And I've seen people like JT have brand new shoes, ruin his shoes trying to go the second mile, just walking people through puddles, carrying an umbrella. That's an excellent spirit, but this is what I like even more. When people who aren't even coming to church, they're just coming to a movie, keeps on walking past our door and our greeters like, oh, and they keep on walking. I love that they don't say, if you're not coming to church, you can walk the rest in the rain. It's a spirit that says, I don't care if you came for God or not. God loves you and I'm going to serve you. I don't care. I don't care if you know him or not. I know him and he calls me to go the second mile. And this may not be the day for you, the harvest to come in. It might be the day that I just sow a seed of love and I'm happy to sow it. We never know who's watching. You don't know if Susie is going to serve you today, and she's just looking for a little seed to be thrown her way. It matters if we have an excellent spirit in essence. I can't even finish this message, but it matters if you have one in character. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself. It's so easy nowadays to defile ourselves. We can defile ourselves in public. We can defile ourselves with our thoughts. We can defile ourselves with our intentions when we think no one's looking. But this is something I want you to write down. An excellent spirit decides that integrity trumps propensity. You need to write that down. Integrity trumps propensity. My propensity is to take this relationship further, but I have resolved not to defile myself. My propensity is to take from work what no one will miss, but I have resolved not to defile myself. My propensity is to speak freely and to defile you, but I have made a covenant not to defile myself. See, our integrity has to trump our propensity. We're going to all have propensities to road rage on someone. My integrity has to trump my propensity. We all have a propensity to go off, to lose it. Maybe to steal, maybe to hurt, maybe to cut down, maybe to gossip. My propensity is to tell this juicy news, but I have made a resolution not to defile myself. That takes a different kind of spirit. It's not one of this world. The one of this world goes, let me tell you what I found out. The one of God says, I'm going to act in love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and maybe most importantly, self-control. I can wait. I can withhold. I can live differently only by the grace and the Spirit of God. I want to believe for that in every single one of us today. If you would, just join me in prayer as I pray over everyone.